In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. And if you're ever in our area and can visit us, we are having worship times at 9 a.m. in the morning, and then also at 10:15, and in the evening, 6 o'clock. And we also have Bible studies on Wednesday, starting at 7 o'clock. And we would love to have you visit, and if you do, be sure to stop by and say you heard us on VCY Radio and say hi. I would love to personally shake your hand, meet you, and welcome to Brookside Baptist Church. Now, we're in commandment number 5, honoring your parents. Let's read that passage since it's so short for a good quick review. Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, what does it mean to honor? The word is an incredibly rich word. Visually, it means respect, reverence, precedence, esteem, and distinction. When this word is applied to God, it is translated as glory. The word literally means heavy or weighty, which conveys the idea of significance. That's right, your mom and dad are significant. Honoring goes far beyond reverence. The scripture includes learning from and obeying. This is important. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Deuteronomy 6:6, all these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy 21:18, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. And so you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, this is a tragic situation, but I want you to back up and just understand the context of this. Here is mom and dad trying to raise their son to love the Lord. And the son rebels. Now, we're not talking about, you know, the occasional disrespect and disobedience. This is a long established pattern. In fact, the scriptures imply that he's a glutton and a drunkard. All he's doing is eating and drinking. And the parents, I'm sure, over many days and time, months, maybe even years, have pleaded, son, if you do not change, the law tells us we've got to bring you before the elders, and you know what will happen. You will be stoned. Notice how the stoning is done not by the family, but by the elders, the rulers of the government. This is a sad thing. And I'll be honest with you, because of my background of drugs and alcohol, if I was an Israelite at this time, I would have been stoned. So thank the Lord that he is merciful and this law is not carried out today. Now, we have church discipline. And that's how we handle those situations where someone is confronted in their sin. And over time, eventually, if they refuse to repent, they will be asked to leave the church. And when they're asked to leave the church, they are being removed from the safety of the church. And now God will give permission for the chastening of that individual. Now, mother and father, this is the model and the template from God for the family. Any other combination rejects God's design. And we know right now in our society, in the world, there is an attack and has been a long ongoing warfare against mom and dad. God's design is as clear as the day. There's one man, he's the father. There's one female, that's the mother. They are married before the Lord, and they are the rulers in the house. The father is the head of the family. He doesn't rule with an iron fist, but with grace. But he's firm, he's truthful, he's loving, and he's honoring God in his word. So this is such a great reminder of the role of each parent, the mother, also involved in the parenting and serving the home and making sure that the children are instructed. Look at Proverbs 31 and the significance of the wife in the home. It's incredible. And the truth is, and I think this is a good way to summarize it, to get a right balance here between a husband and a wife, a mother and a father, is they really are equal in value. Let's be clear about that. No one is superior to the other. But they function differently. That's the key to remember. Equal in value, different in function. And someone is not inferior because they're in submission. Not necessarily. Take the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians chapter 2. Christ was equal to the Father in every way, but he chose a role of submission. And that's what the wife does in the family. Let's further unpack this commandment. It says that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. At first reading, it seems to imply long individual life for the obedient child. And this implication is true. I mean, if you sin greatly, you're going to suffer the consequences of sin, and that may be your demise. But there's a greater significance beyond just individual life. In other scriptures, this application extends to the whole nation and their presence in the promised land that the Lord gave them. In other words, I want you to see this connection, that this commandment is not about individual long life per se, but it's really about life in the promised land. Deuteronomy 5:32, therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Every time Israel disobeyed in the book of Judges, they were taken out of the land. And we saw what happened to Judah and Israel with the Assyrians and Babylonians being taken out of the land for their disobedience. Deuteronomy 6:1, now this is the commandment. These are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you. And here it is, you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. And it's implied in the land. Deuteronomy 11:8, therefore you shall keep every commandment which I commanded you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. So what's the implication of this? Mother and father raising a family to love and fear the Lord. And the Lord says, if your kids obey the parents, you'll prosper. You'll have length of days in the land. But the Lord is also saying, by implication, if you don't, if your kids rebel against mom and dad and the family collapses, the whole nation collapses. If the family collapses, so does the nation. And that's exactly what is going on in our country today. We should be praying for our neighbors' families. Pray that they come to know Christ. Pray that the kids come to know Christ. Pray that they can find ways to overcome their conflicts, to reconcile. And as a result, their salvation will strengthen the family, strengthen the home, strengthen the neighborhood, and therefore the nation will not collapse. But so many families, mothers raising kids without dads and vice versa, or kids who have no parents. It's a terrible tragedy. And the Lord says that his eyes are on the widows and the orphans. So we must, as Christians, be very careful how we live and how we help those who are in trouble, the weak ones in our society. Now, as additional insight, Ephesians 6:2, Paul cites this commandment and notes two promises, that it may be well with you, but he changes the language, that you may live long on the earth. Notice it says earth, which represents all land, whereas the commandment said land, which was referring to the promised land. So Paul takes the principle of this command and applies it to us. Like I said, he doesn't repeat the phrase, the land which the Lord your God gave you. This change is significant and reveals the distinction between Israel and the church. Furthermore, it implies longevity of life for those who are not rebellious. For the one who rebels will face consequences that will shorten their life. Now, there's a couple other passages I think would be helpful that are related to this commandment. Leviticus 19:3, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Exodus 21:17, and he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Leviticus 29, for everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He who has cursed his father or mother, his blood shall be upon him. Proverbs 20:20, whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out into deep darkness. Just a couple more here. Deuteronomy 27:16, cursed is the one who treats his father or mother with contempt, and all the people shall say amen. But what about the New Testament? Matthew 15:4, for God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And you, your fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And lastly, 1 Timothy 5:4, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Wow, a lot of information on parenting, and there's certainly more. So here's a question. As a parent, do you need to go before the Lord to confess and repent over your failures as a parent? Let me tell you, Mom and Dad, if you're estranged from your children, why don't you begin setting aside some time for prayer, that God would open up their heart and your heart and an opportunity to reconcile? Would you be willing to confess your sin as a parent where you failed and ask for forgiveness from your children? And when you do this, don't use any justification. Ask God to stir up some memories in your mind where maybe you fell short. Let me tell you, this is a great way to renew a broken relationship and to repair a broken relationship. But here's another question. Are you a child? Maybe a grown adult now. Do you need to go before the Lord to confess and repent over your disobedience to your parents? Have you been wicked or rebellious, disrespectful? When's the last time you talked to Mom and Dad? And would you be willing to ask forgiveness from your parents for your disobedient behavior? Let me tell you, nothing is eternal except relationships. Relationships matter, and God has created these Ten Commandments and other laws to protect and receive the blessings that relationships are. And if you're estranged from Mom and Dad, or Mom and Dad, you're estranged from the kids, seek the Lord of reconciliation. Ask for courage, the right words. Maybe you need to write a letter. Send an email. Make a phone call. Whatever you do, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And may you find a way with the Lord's help and the courage to reconcile yourself with one another. Well, thank you for your time today. We'll continue next session in commandment number 6, do not murder.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at the Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.